This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It is finally upon us. Yes, indeed. The eve of the spring training opener baseball season. Hello and welcome into Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., his final day in San Diego before he heads out to Peoria to join the Padres, and he'll be on the call with Jesse Agler tomorrow afternoon when the Padres begin spring training play against the hated Dodgers. Matt Scraby's alongside as we kick off another 4 hours of Gwynn and Chris here on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Also enjoy on YouTube, and just search for 97.3 The Fan on YouTube. You can watch the program as we roll along here between now and 6 o'clock. And Tony, I know it's...
Yes.
It's a little bit with mixed emotions, you know, that you leave town and get ready to get into another baseball season. It seems like you just finished up the last one.
It does indeed feel like we just finished up the last one. Nonetheless, I am excited for the 2024 season. Not excited about this drive that I have to make tomorrow morning, but
like we said, I'm a little bit, you know, I love the Padres, I love the organization, I love the Erics, but come on, guys, you're dealing with Tony Gwynn Jr. here, and, you know, Scraby and I think a private plane ought to be waiting for you at Brown Field morning.
That would be lovely, but
I know.
Unrealistic.
Unrealistic, yeah, he says. Sure. He's got to make the drive, just like all the other players on down to Peoria. And, first game tomorrow at noon right here on 97.3 The Fan. You can listen to the game. We will be on after the game tomorrow, so we'll be able to break down spring training game number one. I don't believe Ohtani is going to play tomorrow.
He will not be playing.
But the Los Angeles Dodgers, apparently, Tony, are going to trot out all of their new found riches.
Minus Ohtani.
Well, not tomorrow, but I'm talking about a month from now.
When you guys are
in Korea.
Yeah.
Dave Roberts announcing today that it looks like we will get to see the newly signed Tyler Glasnow.
Right.
And the other newly signed and richer Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Now they are
the two that Dave Roberts says are likely to make the starts for the Dodgers
in the
two games against the Padres in Korea.
Much like the Padres, we don't know the order in which those two will go, but
right.
Nonetheless, I don't know that anybody should be surprised by this. They went out and spent over $1 billion, isn't it? About $1 billion.
Over $1 billion. These two guys alone, Glasnow and Yamamoto, and this doesn't even include Shohei Ohtani, but Glasnow and Yamamoto, the two pitchers that will face the Padres in the Korea openers, combined salaries, $491.6 $1 million.
Don't you dare forget about the point.
Can't
six.
Forget about the point six. So yeah. Padres are going to be facing some expensive arms when they get to Korea, and I say bring it on. We'll go with the underpaid duo of Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish. Underpaid compared to those guys.
I think you're mispronouncing Yamamoto's name.
His first name?
No, his first name is Cy, and his last name is Young, according to the media, because
he's already won that award.
He is being labeled as like
Scraby.
The best pitcher that we've ever seen, and he's never thrown a major league pitch.
I was really lost there.
I did see it in your face. Like, you're like, wait, what? Did he change his name to Cy Young?
I see what you did there.
Speaking of the real Cy Young, Blake Snell still isn't pitching anywhere, but Yamamoto has got his $325 million in the bank, or he will soon have. And so, Dodgers Padres tomorrow to kick off spring training. Dodgers Padres, it's actually less than a month from right now. It'll be 3 in the morning, a.m., 3 a.m. Pacific time on March the 20th when the actual season opener will undergo. But you know what? I mean, just getting the potential pitching matchups, Tony. You know, that just gets you excited. I mean, that's like real baseball, real games. They matter. And we already kind of know what it's going to look like. So it's getting to be kind of exciting right now.
No, this is, first set of games, these spring training games, are the first indication that, you know, it's becoming real.
Right.
Right. And then, you know, we'll do a couple weeks of this, and then everybody's like, all right, let's play the real thing. And then, you know, that comes, and it all starts to happen really fast once the games come, because we'll be doing this every day, right? There'll be a game every day, with the exception of maybe a couple off days in the process of this. I think the Padres, they're in a good place, good spot.
Well, it's going to be really a thrill. I know for you and the people that are going to Korea, because I mean, not only is it Dodgers Padres and it's the opening of the Major League Baseball season, but you've got Ha-Sung Kim, you got, you know, Mr. Go, our reliever from Korea. But bigger than that, I think, is the fact that Ohtani and Yamamoto, although from Japan, have major followings in South Korea. And you got Darvish. And these fans are going to be going crazy over there. I mean, it should really be electric.
I can't imagine it not being absolute chaos.
What you're looking for?
I mean, similar to what, probably on a whole nother scale than when we went to Mexico City last year. That was, I mean,
really?
The crowds were...
Yeah, see, I didn't get that translated here so much. Oh. I mean, I could tell the fans were having fun, but I don't think we really got the full, you know, feel of the chaos.
Yeah, maybe the TV didn't do it justice. It definitely was an electric crowd there for both of those games.
Well, just to speak to your Cy Young comment about Yamamoto, I mean, you got to give the guy a little credit, Scraby. He won not just the MVP in Japan last year and the year before, but also the year before that.
Back to back to back.
He's been the MVP MVPs. 3 years in a row.
His resume is strong, but has he ever...
Strong or quite strong, actually.
Has he ever pitched...
His resume is
regular
strong,
season pitch in Major
Scraby.
League Baseball... No, he hasn't.
He hasn't, but he is coming from Japan.
I know. I'm trying to play it down a little bit.
Know, I think you're well within the range there in terms of the Cy Young being handed out to him right now.
Yeah, people are talking about it, for sure.
There are a lot of good pitchers in Major League Baseball, and I imagine he'll have his string of success, but he'll encounter some bumps there as well.
I have a real quick announcement. I'm being asked in many places, are we carrying the games... Or the game tomorrow?
Yes,
the answer is yes. It will be right here on 97.3 The Fan starting around noon.
Yes, so now, right at noon tomorrow.
We carrying the Korea games at 3 a.m.?
Of course.
Yes, we are. Frank is going to be in here.
All baseball.
All
Padre
games.
Baseball.
Regular season.
Right here.
Yes.
97.3
Yes.
The Fan.
Yes.
And thank goodness Major League Baseball is not streaming those two games. So you can actually
set
your DVR.
I don't know.
And you can watch the game at your leisure.
Oh,
you don't
ESPN.
Have to. Yeah, you don't have to be up at 3 in the morning. You can DVR it, get up at 5 or 6 when you normally wake up and enjoy the. Or you can watch it live. I know some people, many people will set their alarms for 3 in the morning to watch those games live. I will not. I will, get up when I get up and I watch the games. But, Major League Baseball is upon us. We've talked about it at length. The Padres, kind of on the eve of spring training, and they still got three, I don't want to say gaping, but certainly glaring omissions in their potential everyday lineup. Who's going to be the DH? Who's going to be in center field? Who's going to be a third? Can't go. And I think we'll get answers to those questions in the next few weeks. And I think that it makes spring training this year, although there was a lot of anticipation last year,
it was boring.
It was boring, right? There was nothing going on. No. I mean, every spot was already determined last year.
Not only that, the guys that you probably wanted to see often were off.
They weren't even playing.
World Baseball Classic.
And that's right.
And then Joe got hurt. And then so and as you said, had they all been there, it would have been likely the same thing, because you're trying to, preserve guys, try to get them to hit their stride right as they're going into the season. There was no open spots except in the bullpen, right? That's all we were looking at last year was who was going to fill out the rest of the bullpen.
This year, in spring training, I mean, other than Musgrove and Darvish and probably Michael King, but anytime anybody other than those two guys goes to the mound, there's going to be something at stake, and that includes the back end of the bullpen where Suarez and Matsui and Go are going to be pitching lights out or as well as they can in spring to show, what they're going to bring. So it should be a lot more entertaining.
I just trying to start good habits right now. It's who suck go, right?
Mr. Go.
Mr. Go.
I got to break myself out of
Mr. Go. You won't be able to call him Mr. Go. I will be able to call him Mr. Go.
I might be able to use that in a call.
I told you my problem from the very beginning is that the middle part of the name is Suck, and I think he should change it to Suk.
I don't know why you're so fixated on something that he obviously does not care about.
How do you know he doesn't care about it?
Because he introduced himself as Usuk Go.
How do you know that he introduced himself as such, but he doesn't care, but he doesn't like it? Wait till the fans in Philadelphia get a hold of that.
Apparently, the broadcast for
just looking
Korea
out
games,
for the guy, Scrape.
I don't think he needs you to look out for him. Is all I'm trying
to say. Well, he might. Oh, he's coming to this country for the first time. I'm trying to help him out a little bit. That's all.
I feel like there is an issue with maybe ESPN cannot air the games on TV. That's what I'm seeing in the chat. Do we know anything about that, guys?
What are you talking about?
In Korea, the Korea games.
Why wouldn't they be able to?
Because there's a local team involved?
Yeah, local team. You can't see it on ESPN, but we'll figure this out.
In Korea?
No, here in San Diego.
Oh, what he's saying is the two games that are on ESPN in Korea will be blacked out on ESPN.
According to several people in the chat, not me.
According to people in the chat.
I don't know.
Well, we've got a month to sort all that out.
And you know what?
We got some time. We will.
My favorite question from people out there is about TV operations, because I work in Padres Radio, so I don't know anything about the TV operations.
How do you not know, Scraby?
I probably should.
Yes, you're supposed to know all of that stuff. All right, we are underway. We got a good one for you on this Wednesday. As always, we're going to talk and get into the Aztec game last night. They got beat at Utah State. I guess it wasn't meant to be, for them to win one of these big games on the road. There's still, a lot of basketball left and a chance to still win this Mountain West Conference title, but a disappointing loss. Mark Ziegler is still there in Logan, Utah, and he will join us in a little while to help break down last night's disappointment. So that is coming up in the first hour of the program. The second hour, among other things, will include a sports court today. Fast becoming one of our most popular segments on the program. We'll get into Chris versus the fans and the Big Five and all the rest of it. And Eric Hosmer today announced his retirement. Tony and I will have something to say about that a little bit later on. But for now, we're just cruising into the early stages of the program. We're glad you're with us. Gwen and Chris, it's San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
2:20 on the clock. Got a long day ahead of me. We'll head out in the morning to get to Arizona in time to do the broadcast for the first spring training game.
Yeah, Braden Soprano had a very good idea. I don't know if you're going to be able to follow it.
When was? Oh, yeah, no. He, part of the reason why I'm staying here is to see my daughter and her high school in action tonight for their CIF semifinal game.
They're playing out at Granite Hills High School, which is actually, for you,
it's on the way,
about halfway to Arizona, because it's way out in the East County tonight.
It is.
Yeah. You've got to go home, see everybody,
home.
And then
right.
regroup tomorrow morning and head out. Good luck to Michaela and the Mount Carmel Sun Devils tonight. I did a basketball playoff game last night, a girls' game. And it was Santa Fe Christian against High Tech High. I mentioned this to you before, Tony.
Yeah.
Santa Fe Christian wins the game. Young lady on the Santa
Fe
Christian.
Has the number six seed, too, right?
Yes.
Six over a two.
Yes, they were the six seed, so I wasn't really expecting. You know, you never know what's going to happen, but you kind of go in with some preconceived notions. A young lady on Santa Fe Christian started making three-point shots, like from everywhere. And I don't know, you know, how many she had in the first half, but I thought, all right, they're going to have to cover her in the second half. They covered her in the second half.
Didn't
she
matter.
Still kept making them, and they end up winning the game. I asked the coaches after the game, how many did she make? 13 threes.
Wow.
In one high school basketball game for this young lady last night. My goodness. And she led them to a victory. And, of course, then I watched the Aztecs game when I got home. The Aztecs couldn't make a three-pointer to save their lives last night at Utah State.
It was a disappointing performance, I guess.
It was.
You know, to me, it was less about the Aztecs missing shots as opposed to not stopping Utah from making shots. I mean, they shot the ball well in yesterday's game for the field. I shot 50% in the first half, just underneath that. That is so unusual for to up against any Aztec team in, that I can remember, you shooting close to 50% in both halves.
Yeah. This game was, it was pretty, you know, it was just one of those struggles, right? Nobody could get a lot going on offense. And to me, it was going to come down to which team could find somebody, anybody, to make a three-point shot and kind of break the game open. And Utah State found the guy.
Yep.
I mean, the guard, Darius Brown II, hit five threes.
Yeah.
And most of them were in the – and they were all killers.
A big one, like under a minute and 30.
Yes, they were all crushers. So he makes five threes. The rest of their team only made two. And the Aztecs shot 3 of 19. So there was one guy in the building last night that could make a three, and it was on Utah State, and that's why they won.
The backbreaker was two different offensive rebounds they got, and they kicked it out to Brown
For that crusher.
That was the one that put the nail in the
coffin. Made it about a 6-point game. I mean, the Aztecs, as they always do,
they made it a game.
They fell behind by 10. You know, this seems like to be the automatic for them. And then they came back, right? They were down by only one with 4 minutes to go, and then they didn't score another basket. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday. These are college kids. I'm not going to sit here and be critical of college kids. But I can tell you that Lamont Butler wishes he had that game back. It just was not his night. I mean, anytime a guy of his ability, Tony, no points, no assists, and three turnovers. It just didn't work for Lamont Butler last night. Micah Parrish only made 1 out of 7. And Ladie, he willed his way.
He had to earn those
23 points and 6 rebounds. And Mark Ziegler even referred to, we'll ask him when we have him on here, but Ladie did not look 100% last night. I don't know if it was the altitude. I don't know if he's a little under the weather. But he just didn't look his real self last night, and he still found a way to keep them in the game. But the Aztecs are gonna, you know, they lose 5 games in the conference, and they're against the other 5 teams that are probably gonna all be in the NCAA tournament. They just couldn't beat any of them, even though they were close and really had a chance to win any of those games. Just didn't happen.
As you said, they needed something from just one other guy that if they could have got some. I know Waters had 11, but they just needed another bucket or two. I mean, you bring up Lamont, who just, as you say, he just couldn't get it going yesterday. He seemed to struggle a little bit.
I mean, he's just the greatest player. And, I mean, everybody has a night. This is, I know I'm comparing Lamont Butler to LeBron James, and I shouldn't. But this is why LeBron James' streak of 19 years in a row in double figures amazes me. Because every basketball player should have one off night, like Lamont had last night. LeBron James never does.
No.
But, it was just a tough night for Butler. And, you know, they're still right there, you know, with a chance to win the game. That's what I like about this team. Yeah. They're gonna be in contention. But, you know, they're going to get into these tournament games. And last year, they won them all. When it was close down the stretch,
the other thing to keep
and they got to find a way this year.
The other thing to keep in mind is they still have a chance to win this conference. It's not going to be as easy as it could have been had they won, because then they would have owned the tiebreaker. They would have swept that series. But there's going to be about 4 teams. It seems
they're
like
all pretty much
in this.
They're
same
all
spot.
Together. It's probably going to come down to a bunch of tiebreakers.
Yeah,
and just how those tiebreakers fall. The Aztecs have 4 games left in the conference. You're at Fresno State this Saturday night. You don't like to chalk up a win before the game, but you're going to be heavily favored in that game. You've got, you're at UNLV, and that team is, you know, really Jekyll and Hyde. So hopefully you'll catch them on an off night. You also finish at home with Boise State. So there's some challenging games left, but I think the Aztecs will be favored in all 4 games. And if they hold serve.
How many on the road?
2 on the road, 2 at home.
Okay.
And if they hold serve, you know, they're going to go 13-5 in one of the best conferences in the country, and they're going to go 24-7 overall. And frankly, Tony, As disappointed as I am today, I would have signed up for that at the beginning of the 100%. Season after you lose five-star players from a year ago.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question you would take
right?
the spot that they're in, especially when you consider how strong the conference is.
Yeah.
That is a big reason why their record looks the way it is. It's not because of what happened outside of the conference. It's everybody beating up each other. In conference. And so yeah. that's what makes this year unique to me is that the conference is actually, as much as we give the AP and the coaches poll a lot of, you know, hell about it, they actually are giving this conference, at least how it's being spoken of right now, they're giving this conference the type of love that it deserves. I guess ultimately we'll find out how true that is when they actually reveal who's in, who's out. But yeah. I think this is what makes this year a little bit unique.
We should also mention last night, as the Aztecs lose another game on the road, and every time they lose one, you know, the bandwagon gets a little lighter, right? People cool. jump off. Yeah, oh, they're not going to get it done.
Better seats for us.
Better seats for us. But also know this. Last night, number one, UConn, a team that hasn't lost to anybody.
We just finished saying this yesterday, too.
They got boat raced.
They got drubbed.
By 19 at Creighton last night. And Creighton's ranked 15th. I saw someone tweet today, UConn, this is about as good a program as there is in America, has now lost 19 consecutive road games against ranked teams.
Really?
Going
would
back
not have
like
guess that.
Going back like 10 years.
Wow.
So, and they're the national champs. The point being, that's how hard it is to win on the road
yeah.
in college basketball, especially this year with teams so evenly matched. So, you know, look, try to keep it in perspective. It was disappointing for sure. But
yeah. Aztecs go down 68-63. They'll look to get things back on the right track in this next ball game. They play Saturday?
Saturday at Fresno State.
So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Another road game, which is always, you know, still, you know, you got to.
They're at Fresno, at UNLV?
I can look at the their last four games, and I don't have the order, but it's at Fresno is the next game. They also play at UNLV. They are at home against, I think, San Jose State, and then home against Boise State. But I don't know if it's in that exact order. But those are the last four games.
All right. Let's get to break. When we come back, Mark Ziegler, still in Logan. Talk a little bit more about this Aztec.
If you've ever been to Logan, you can understand why the guy would want to stay over.
We'll talk a little bit more about this Aztec game, their positioning as they head into March. Morgan and Chris on the way.
Somebody on the chat. Trying to compare me to Scraby and call me the bear of misinformation.
Yes, they did.
How did this turn into me? You were the one
who
delivered wrong.
You took
delight in it, too.
You are the official bear of...
I did. Did I say it with a smile?
Yeah, you kind of did.
I did.
You kind of did.
You were so excited that I might have gotten something wrong. I mentioned a tweet that said UConn has now lost 19 consecutive road games to ranked opponents. Somebody said, oh, they won at Texas. When Texas was number 15 earlier this year, so I, you know, took it under advisement, looked up the game. No,
Google
they did
search.
Not win at Texas. The no. game was a neutral site game.
Yes. Well,
played at Madison Square Garden.
Technically.
No, there's no technically.
There is an away team and there is a home
there's
team.
No
so
technically.
If I'm looking at a box score, I'm trying to find this game, but if I'm looking at a box score and I see, if I just take it for face value, it says at.
But that is the problem with Google searching. Is
they also won a game UConn this year at number 10 Gonzaga. However, that game was not played at Gonzaga. It was
neutral
played
site.
In Seattle,
right.
which is considered a neutral site.
But are neutral sites considered away games for the away team?
It doesn't
no,
matter.
It does
not.
Matter.
They're
doesn't.
Not. I'll be honest with you, they're not. They give you three sets of statistics in your media packet. One is their statistics at home, statistics away, and statistics at neutral sites.
Will I
those games for UConn are considered neutral site games?
Are you going to provide me with these statistics because I can't find
They're
them?
They're pretty simple to find. I haven't looked for it yet, and I'm going to go ahead
and
look.
Can we ask Mark Ziegler about it?
Is he ready?
No, I'm going to call him right now. Though.
Okay,
of course we can ask Mark Ziegler because he's a man that is in the know, and I'm certain. That his answer will be that. Now, had they played the game last night, let's say in Salt Lake City, Then it would have been a neutral site loss.
Yes.
But instead, it's a
road
loss.
But they're still away.
It's a
You're getting caught
up in who's
away. Both teams are away, Scrape.
Right.
Both teams are away.
You know Utah State is home because they're playing in their own state.
No.
Their name is Utah State. They're in the state of Utah.
When Connecticut played Texas, the game was in New York. So whose home state is that?
That would be...
That's going to put a little wrinkle in your argument, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I do appreciate that. Whenever Chris gets... You know, Chris will go for the rest of time trying to prove he's right.
Yes, he will.
When I'm right and he's trying to prove I'm wrong, he will do anything in his power to make me look
bad. So it sounds like pretty good consistency.
It normally doesn't take a whole lot for me to prove that you're wrong.
But you're also not realizing that... Neutral sites are away for some teams.
I can't with you, dude. If you don't knock it off,
please call Mark. I'm going to tell him before that he needs to sign with me.
Please call Mark.
He's not going to.
I mean, he cares about his reputation. He doesn't want to just come on here and be like, yes, I'm going to agree with you, Scraby.
I mean, I'm not even going to waste his time with this question. It's not even worth asking him. A neutral site game is exactly that. A neutral site game. But thank you to the chat for trying to point out that I was the bearer of misinformation. I was not. Not this time. I certainly will be, but not this time.
You wanted Chris to locate the exact box score. I found it a couple searches.
Yeah.
Just typed in UConn schedule, went back, found Texas Longhorns. What do you know? The arena says Madison.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is a neutral site.
That's where they played the game. But that's in
New York. That's clearly not in Austin, and it's clearly not wherever UConn is. I don't know the city.
Stores, Connecticut. For those keeping track.
Buddy.
For those keeping track. All right, Mark Ziegler set to join us here as we look back. Oh, my goodness. Scraby's trying to butter him up on the phone here.
All I said was I have a very important question for you.
It's not important. It's a waste. Hi, Mark. How are you today,
Hello,
sir?
Hello, Mark.
What's the important question?
It's really not. Scraby thinks that a neutral site game in college basketball is an away game for at least one of the teams. Like, he thinks that when UConn played Gonzaga in Seattle, that should be called a road game, not a neutral site.
Well, he has a point. It's actually an interesting discussion, but no, it counts as a neutral. But one of the things that's changed in that regard is it used to be, when you got to the conference tournament and UNLV was playing in the conference tournament, they'd call that a neutral site game for San Diego State, even though you're playing basically in their building, even though the floor is not the same and the event is supposed to be a neutral venue. They changed it. So now it's a neutral. It's a road game for San Diego State and a home game for UNLV metrics.
The reason this came up is because somebody tweeted the fact that UConn has now lost 19 games on the road in a row to ranked opponents after losing at Creighton last night. And somebody said, well, they lost at Gonzaga. And I said,
no, they lost to Texas.
Yeah, they also said they lost to Texas, which was clearly a neutral site game. It was played at Madison Square Garden. The point being is it's tough to win on the road. And the Aztecs, of course, learned that lesson again. Yeah, they learned it again last night for sure. Mark, I guess my first question is, you know, you wrote up this weekend how the Aztecs are, you know, ranked number four by the committee. They would get a four seed had the tournament started today. And you went into great detail about how those seedings normally hold. Do you feel that the seeding holds despite the loss last night?
I think so. And the reason is they were 14th overall, not 16th. And so that gives them a two-team cushion to falling out of the four seed line to the five seed line. And I think a quad one win on the road where they were not favored is not going to hurt them that much. You know, maybe hurt them a little bit. But like Joe Lenardi, who, you know, puts out daily bracketology this time of year, he had them as the 16th team overall. And so that means they dropped two spots, but they're still a four seed. Now, I think what it did do is their margin of error is gone.
Right.
So if you're going to lose again, it better be to a really good team. And you better not be favored. And that's going to be hard to do the rest of the way. Now, if they get into the conference tournament, they get to the semis, the finals, I think the committee's pretty much got the 1 through 4 seats done. And they're worried about the 11s and 10s and that type of thing. So if they get to the semifinals of the conference tournament without a loss, I think they're okay. But they can't lose any of these next four. They just cannot lose any of them because none of them are quad one wins. And even though, you know, they always struggle at Fresno State on the road and UNLV is going to be really, really hard, I think they have to win them.
Yeah. Yeah, it would seem so. I mean, you kind of hit on it a little bit, Mark. The Aztecs have just struggled in the conference on the road. They just have not been able to get over their hump. I mean, you've been at all of these games. Is there a reoccurring theme in these losses on the road?
Oh, every single time it's the same thing. They're close in the second half, and that's the encouraging thing. They're not getting blown out. Even in the game at New Mexico, they lost by 18. You know, people forget that was a 1-point game midway through the second half. They were up 12 in the first half. They play well enough to win in these games, but the problem is when they get into crunch time or they get it close, 4 minutes to go last night, down one, come all the way back, all the momentum on their side, making all the plays, all of a sudden they just can't make a play. And it's a turnover or it's back-to-back turnovers or, it's, you know, at Nevada it was back-to-back offensive rebounds. Again last night, two possessions in a row where they gave up offensive rebounds that turned into five total points. I mean, those are just killers. And they're not making plays at the other end. They're not making shots. And it's just in those stretches of the game. It's not the rest of the game. It's with 5 minutes to go, 7 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go, whatever it is. At Nevada, it was the final minute. And in the crucial part of the game, they're just not making plays. And that's just, I don't know what it is. It's just this little flaw in this team. And it's just, it's like if they played 100 more road games and sold out arenas at altitude, I think they'd lose all 100. I mean, in the same way. It's just that's who they are this season. But now, in neutral courts and at home, they're undefeated.
Yeah, and that's what you brought up in the article. I mean, when you get into the – other than the conference tournament being at Las Vegas, you know, pretty much everything postseason is always a neutral site game, and they seem to find a way there. So, that is something they can take with them. Was Jaden Ledee 100% healthy last night, Mark? He didn't look right. Came out of the game very early in each half, which I understand because of the altitude, but – I mean, he willed his way to 23 points last night.
Yeah, you know, I asked Brian Dutcher about that. He did not indicate there were any kind of illness, anything along those lines. I think, you know, sometimes with these guys, the altitude just gets to them. And I think it did last night. You know, maybe a little bit tired, maybe he didn't get a good night's sleep. But he definitely was laboring. There was no doubt about it. I noticed it the first couple plays down the floor, trying to run down defense. You know, they'll come back on defense and they'll be, you know, getting ready for the half court set. And he's just gasping for air. And then he just sucks it up and plays. That said, I mean, he was incredible last night. And if it wasn't for him, they would have gotten blown out. He didn't get any help other than, you know, a couple guys off the bench. But from the rest of the starters, they gave him nothing.
Mark Ziegler joins us here, Union Tribune. And Mark, you know, the thing, I look at the stat sheet, and it's very rare that I see a team shoot 50% in one half and close to that in the second half. Was that more of Utah State hitting tough shots, or was the defense a little step behind last night?
Well, it's always a step behind in altitude. I mean, I if you don't tell me where they're playing and just show it to me, I can tell you immediately if they're in altitude or not. It's not that guys are keeled over, gasping for air. It's just, it looks like they're running in sand. And that's just how it is. And usually by this point in the season, they've gotten used to it and they're a little bit better. This team, for whatever reason, has not made the same strides that other teams have late in the season, you know, playing multiple games in altitude. And so I think that was part of it. Utah State's not a great three-point shooting team, but, you know, they were great in their own building last night. And San Diego State defensively, you know, let them take some threes. I think that was part of the game plan. They went under a lot of ball screens. Darius Brown hit a couple, or hit more than a couple, and he's usually not that type of shooter. So I think it was a little bit of both, but it definitely was the difference in the game.
Mark, Lamont Butler, I mean, he's everybody's all-time favorite guy, and he's always going to be everybody's all-time favorite guy. They'll never be able to take away what he did. But how does he have a game like he did last night? It just didn't go his way. I mean, goose eggs in points and assists. I mean, to me, I don't think we'll ever see another game like that from Lamont Butler. It just for whatever reason didn't work. Did they take him out or did he take himself out of it?
They took him out. I think they just realized he wasn't doing anything. I think it's hugely, hugely frustrating, if we're being candid, for a guy who's a senior to be that inconsistent. And what's really, and we've talked about this a little bit before, what's really bizarre about this team is you have such wild inconsistencies among individual efforts. Some guys like Lamont will have a game where he'll score in the 20s, and then he'll have a game like he did last night where he just completely disappears. And that's just not him. That's everybody except Jalen Adee. I mean, he's pretty much gives you what he can every night, and I think the refs kind of move him up or down in terms of scoring, depending on how they're calling the game. But he's consistent. The rest of them are not. Yet the team is consistent.
Yeah.
The team's really good at home, pretty good in neutral floors, and really bad on the road. And that's what's just kind of bizarre about this team. But, yeah, that was, you know, that's something that maybe you expect from a freshman, maybe from a sophomore who hasn't played that much. You're going to have inconsistent moments. But for a fourth-year senior who's had really good games at Utah State, in fact, his breakout.
Somebody on the chat trying to compare me to Scraby and call me the bearer of misinformation.
Yes, they did.
How did this turn into me? You were the one who delivered
wrong. You are the official.
You took delight in it, too.
You are the official bearer.
I did. Did I say it with a smile?
Yeah, you kind of did.
I did.
You kind of did.
You were so excited that I might have gotten something wrong. I mentioned a tweet that said UConn has now lost 19 consecutive road games to ranked opponents. Somebody said, oh, they won at Texas when Texas was number 15 earlier this year. So I, you know, took it under advisement, looked up the game.
No, they did not
win at Texas. The game was a neutral site game.
Yes. Well,
played at Madison Square Garden.
Technically.
No, there's no technically.
There is an away team and there is a home
team. There's no
technically.
So
if I'm looking at a box score, I'm trying to find this game, but if I'm looking at a box score and I see, if I just take it for face value, it says at.
But that is the problem with Google searching.
They also won a game UConn this year at number 10 Gonzaga. However, that game was not played at Gonzaga. It was
neutral
played
site.
In Seattle,
right.
Which is considered a neutral site.
But are neutral sites considered away games for the away team?
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
They're not. I'll be honest with you, they're not. They give you three sets of statistics in your media packet. One is their statistics at home, statistics away, and statistics at neutral sites. Those games for UConn are considered neutral site games.
Are you going to provide me with these statistics? Because I can't find
them.
They're
pretty simple to find. I haven't looked for it yet, and I'm going to go ahead and look for it.
Can we ask Mark Ziegler about it?
Is he ready?
No, I'm going to call him right now, though.
Okay.
Of course we can ask Mark Ziegler, because he's a man that is in the know, and I'm certain that his answer will be that. Now, had they played the game last night, let's say in Salt Lake City, then it would have been a neutral site loss.
Yes.
But instead, it's a
road
loss.
But they're still away.
It's a
different. Not
you're getting caught up
home.
In who.
Both teams are away, Scrape.
Right.
Both teams are away.
You know Utah State is home because they're playing in their own state.
No.
Their name is Utah State. They're in the state of Utah.
When Connecticut played Texas, the game was in New York.
So whose home state is that?
That would be...
That's going to put a little wrinkle in your argument, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I do appreciate that. Whenever Chris gets... You know, Chris will go for the rest of time trying to prove he's right.
Yes, he will.
When I'm right and he's trying to prove I'm wrong, he will do anything in his power to make me look
bad. So it sounds like pretty good consistency.
It normally doesn't take a whole lot for me to prove that you're wrong.
But you're also not realizing that... Neutral sites are away for some teams.
I can't with you, dude. If you don't knock it off,
I'm calling Mark.
Please call
your
Mark.
Argument. And I'm going to tell him before that he needs to side with me.
He's not going to.
I mean, he cares about his reputation. He doesn't want to just come on here and be like, yes, I'm going to agree with you, Scraby.
I mean, I'm not even going to waste his time with this question. It's not even worth asking him. A neutral site game is exactly that. A neutral site game. But thank you to the chat for trying to point out that I was the bearer of misinformation. I was not. Not this time. I certainly will
be, but not
this time.
You seem you wanted Chris to locate the exact box score. I found it a couple searches.
Yeah.
Just typed in UConn schedule, went back, found Texas Longhorns. What do you know? The arena says Madison.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is a neutral site.
I mean, that's where they played the game. But
that's in New York. That's clearly not in Austin, and it's clearly not wherever UConn is. I don't know the city.
Stores, Connecticut.
Stores, Connecticut.
For those keeping track.
Buddy.
For those keeping track. All right, Mark Ziegler set to join us here as we look back. Oh, my goodness. Scraby's trying to butter him up on the phone here.
All I said was have a very important question for you.
It's not important. It's a waste. Hi, Mark. How are you today,
Hello,
sir?
Hello, Mark.
What's the important question?
It's really not. Scraby thinks that a neutral site game in college basketball is an away game for at least one of the teams. Like, he thinks that when UConn played Gonzaga in Seattle, that should be called a road game, not a neutral site.
Well, he has a point. It's actually an interesting discussion, but no, it counts as a neutral. But one of the things that's changed in that regard is it used to be when you got to the conference tournament and UNLV was playing in the conference tournament, they'd call that a neutral site game for San Diego State, even though you're playing basically in their building, even though the floor is not the same and the event is supposed to be a neutral venue. They changed it. So now it's a neutral. It's a road game for San Diego State and a home game for UNLV in the metrics.
Well, the reason this came up is because somebody tweeted the fact that UConn has now lost 19 games on the road in a row to ranked opponents after losing at Creighton last night. And somebody said, well, they lost at Gonzaga. And I said,
no, they lost to Texas.
Yeah, they also said they lost to Texas, which was clearly a neutral site game. It was played at Madison Square Garden. The point being is it's tough to win on the road. And the Aztecs, of course, learned that lesson again.
Can't do it.
Yeah, they learned it again last night for sure. Mark, I guess my first question is, you know, you wrote up this weekend how the Aztecs are, you know, were ranked number four by the committee. They would get a four seed had the tournament started today. And you went into great detail about how those seedings normally hold. Do you feel that the seeding holds despite the loss last night?
I think so. And the reason is they were 14th overall, not 16th. And so that gives them a two-team cushion to falling out of the four seed line to the five seed line. And I think a quad one win on the road where they were not favored is not going to hurt them that much. It'll maybe hurt them a little bit. But like Joe Lenardi, who, you know, puts out daily bracketology this time of year, he had them as the 16th team overall. And so that means they dropped two spots, but they're still a four seed. Now, I think what it did do is their margin of error is gone.
Right.
So if you're going to lose again, it better be to a really good team, and you better not be favored. And that's going to be hard to do the rest of the way. Now, if they get into the conference tournament, they get to the semis, the finals, I think the committee's pretty much got the one through four seats done, and they're worried about the 11s and 10s and that type of thing. So if they get to the semifinals of the conference tournament without a loss, I think they're okay. But they can't lose any of these next four. They just cannot lose any of them because none of them are quad one wins. And even though, you know, they always struggle at Fresno State on the road, and UNLV is going to be really, really hard, I think they have to win them.
Yeah. Yeah, it would seem so. I mean, you kind of hit on it a little bit, Mark. The Aztecs have just struggled in the conference on the road. They just have not been able to get over their hump. I mean, you've been at all of these games. Is there a reoccurring theme in these losses on the road?
Oh, every single time it's the same thing. They're close in the second half, and that's the encouraging thing. They're not getting blown out. Even in the game at New Mexico, they lost by 18. You know, people forget that was a one-point game midway to the second half. They were up 12 in the first half. They play well enough to win in these games, but the problem is when they get into crunch time or they get it close, 4 minutes to go last night, down one, come all the way back, all the momentum on their side, making all the plays, all of a sudden they just can't make a play. And it's a turnover or it's back-to-back turnovers or, at Nevada it was back-to-back offensive rebounds again last night. Two possessions in a row where they gave up offensive rebounds that turned into five total points. I mean, those are just killers. And they're not making plays at the other end. They're not making shots. And it's just in those stretches of the game. It's not the rest of the game. It's with 5 minutes to go, 7 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go, whatever it is. At Nevada, it was the final minute. And in the crucial part of the game, they're just not making plays. And that's just I don't know what it is. It's just this little flaw in this team, and it's just, it's like if they played 100 more road games and sold out arenas at altitude, I think they'd lose all 100. I mean, in the same way, it's just that's who they are this season. But now, in neutral courts and at home, they're undefeated.
Yeah, and that's what you brought up in the article. I mean, when you get into the – other than the conference tournament being at Las Vegas, you know, pretty much everything postseason is always a neutral site game, and they seem to find a way there. So, they, you know, that is something they can take with them. Was Jaden and Ladie 100% healthy last night, Mark? He didn't look right. Came out of the game very early in each half, which I understand because of the altitude. But, I mean, he seemed he willed his way to 23 points last night.
Yeah, you know, I asked Brian Dutcher about that. He did not indicate there were any kind of illness, anything along those lines. I think, you know, sometimes with these guys, the altitude just gets to them. And I think it did last night. You know, maybe a little bit tired, maybe he didn't get a good night's sleep. But he definitely was laboring. There was no doubt about it. I noticed it the first couple plays down the floor, trying to run down defense. You know, they'll come back on defense and they'll be, you know, getting ready for the half court set. And he's just gasping for air. And then he just sucks it up and plays. That said, I mean, he was incredible last night. And if it wasn't for him, they would have gotten blown out. He didn't get any help other than, you know, a couple guys off the bench, but from the rest of the starters, they gave him nothing.
Mark Ziegler joins us here, Union Tribune. And Mark, you know, the thing, I look at the stat sheet, and it's very rare that I see a team shoot 50% in one half and close to that in the second half. Was that more of Utah State hitting tough shots, or was the defense a little step behind last night?
Well, it's always a step behind in altitude. I mean, I you know, if you don't tell me where they're playing and just show it to me, I can tell you immediately if they're in altitude or not. It's not that guys are keeled over, gasping for air. It's just, it looks like they're running in sand. And that's just how it is. And usually by this point in the season, they've gotten used to it and they're a little bit better. This team, for whatever reason, has not made the same strides that other teams have late in the season, you know, playing multiple games in altitude. And so I think that was part of it. Utah State's not a great three-point shooting team, but, you know, they were great in their own building last night. And San Diego State defensively, you know, let them take some threes. I think that was part of the game plan. They went under a lot of ball screens. Darius Brown hit a couple, or hit more than a couple, and he's usually not that type of shooter. So I think it was a little bit of both, but it definitely was the difference in the game.
Mark, Lamont Butler, I mean, he's everybody's all-time favorite guy, and he's always going to be everybody's all-time favorite guy. They'll never be able to take away what he did. But how does he have a game like he did last night? It just didn't go his way. I mean, goose eggs in points and assists. I mean, to me, I don't think we'll ever see another game like that from Lamont Butler. It just for whatever reason, didn't work. Did they take him out, or did he take himself out of it?
They took him out. I think they just realized he wasn't doing anything. I think it's hugely, hugely frustrating, if we're being candid, for a guy who's a senior to be that inconsistent. And what's really, and we've talked about this a little bit before, what's really bizarre about this team is you have such wild inconsistencies among individual efforts. You know, some guys like Lamont will have a game where he'll score in the 20s, and then he'll have a game like he did last night where he just completely disappears. And that's just not him. That's everybody except Jaylen Adee. I mean, he's pretty much gives you what he can every night. And I think the refs kind of move him up or down in terms of scoring, depending on how they're calling the game. But he's consistent. The rest of them are not. Yet the team is consistent.
Yeah.
The team's really good at home, pretty good in neutral floors, and really bad on the road. And that's what's just kind of bizarre about this team. But, yeah, that was, you know, that's something that maybe you expect from a freshman, maybe from a sophomore who hasn't played that much. You're going to have inconsistent moments. But for a fourth-year senior who's had really good games at Utah State, in fact, his breakout as a freshman was there when he had, I think, 5 steals in a game. And so he had good vibes in the building, but I just don't know what happened. And, again, maybe it was a little bit of the altitude. Who knows what it was, but he wasn't there.
It's certainly a interesting way to see it, right? The individual performances, inconsistent, but the team very consistent. And maybe that's why they have struggled on the road, is because you kind of need those things to happen for you on the road. Mark, there was a lot of talk on the broadcast last night about, obviously they highlighted the five teams that currently sit well as it pertains to the tournament. But there is a sixth team. You mentioned UNLV that could be lurking. I mean, is there? Can you envision a scenario in which six teams actually get in to this conference, into this tournament?
Yeah, I mean, as crazy as that sounds, there's certainly that's in play. And here's the scenario that no one's really talking about. But okay, let's UNLV does not have the metrics to get in as an at large, so it's the other six teams that would. But what happens if UNLV on its home floor finally puts it together and wins the conference tournament? They're talented enough and they have the motivation because they know they're not going to the NCAA tournament otherwise. So what happens if they win this thing? Do they take seven teams? I mean, I can't envision that. I think the bottom team would drop out. And one thing that's going to happen between now and the end of the regular season is, you know, you have a bunch of teams with five losses right now, but they're going to play each other. And if the results don't go just right, you're going to have a team with seven losses, maybe even a team with eight, but probably a team among that group with seven losses. And I think that team might be out unless their metrics are through the roof. So I tend to think it's going to be five and one team will drop off. But, you know, just keep an eye on UNLV in that conference tournament, and that could be the absolute wild card among all wild cards.
Mark Ziegler, I want to ask you one thing that I don't know that I've asked you before, but it comes to mind in the game last night, watching Reese Waters jawing a little bit with some of the fans there at Utah State. And you go to all of these venues and see all of these fans. I mean, the Pit. And Utah State's fans are crazy and everywhere else. And San Diego State's fans, are, for their part, are remarkable. How do you kind of rate the fans in this conference? Who do you think is, I don't want to say the best, but where is the best atmosphere in the Mountain West Conference? What's the toughest in terms of opposing fans?
Well, the best student section, I think, is Utah State. When they're in, you know, when they fill out their 4,000 seats and they were like they were last night. I mean, just the sheer size of it, it's 40% of the arena. And they're organized, they're allowed. I wrote a little piece about what they do. They hand out a sheet before the game that's got like bio information, Rick and
really?
The other team's players. Yeah, and I'll have it up online a little bit here later. I'll try to put a screenshot of it. And it's it's really, you know, they have one side of it is all their chants and their traditions. The other one, you know, went through five different players, and it, you know, one had a QR code to a Twitter page that had a 10-year-old picture of Darian Trammell in a suit at a wedding.
And, so they don't leave any stone unturned there.
Another one had somehow they got a hold of Micah had somehow posted his Cash App handle for money transfers, and they said, God, wouldn't it be a shame if a whole bunch of people put in money transfer requests to Micah? So, you know, you got students sitting around for an hour before the game holding their seat. I mean, they all have cell phones. I mean, how many of them did a Cash App request to Micah? I mean, that's the kind of stuff they do. It's great there. The Pit is great. And one thing people have to realize is college basketball today, just like college football, a lot of the crowds are shrinking. And in the Pac-12, except for Arizona, I mean, maybe a couple games in Colorado, they are not full arenas at all. The Mountain West is kind of an aberration where Nevada sold out most nights, Utah State, New Mexico, Boise, San Diego State. You know, those teams are all getting huge crowds, and it's, you know, don't take it for granted. It's really, really cool and really special. And the one thing I want to say about Reese Waters, John, Adam, whether you think that's a T or not, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that, Chris, but you saw on Friday night, Jalen House did that multiple times to the show, pointing at him, gesturing at him, swearing at him, screaming at him, no T. And the ref who called the T on Reese Waters is the same ref who ref the game in the Pit with San Diego State and would not call a T on Jalen House for basically high-stepping into the Aztecs bench. So I thought that was a little odd. And a little inconsistent.
It's very inconsistent. And I looked at that replay. I was trying to figure out what Reese did to get the technical. And it looked like he was just yelling back to the crowd saying, I made a shot. That's not a technical foul, so I don't know
apparently
where that
Apparently he cursed, and he never curses.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it was because we were in Logan, Utah, and he cursed, and you know, there's a suggestion. I don't know. I don't know what. Maybe the standards are different. But would you call that?
I
mean, if you're in a high school game, and the guy curses at a student section, you let
I would
it go.
Honestly try to get up to him and say, you know, watch your mouth and give
keep
a warning.
It moving, yeah.
Especially, I mean, you can't tell me Jalen House didn't throw a curse word in somewhere in all of those celebrations.
Oh.
Hard to imagine.
I heard him. I was sitting behind him.
There you go. All right, Mark. Well, thanks for everything, man. It's been a fun year, and it's going to get more fun as we go along. And we love having you on. Thanks so much for contributing today, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
I'm talking.
Oh, good. We just got rid of him in the nick of time there. It sounded like he dropped off there in Logan, Utah. Mark Ziegler, he's so great.
He's
I mean,
awesome.
he takes us right inside the huddle. I mean, there aren't a lot of reporters out there that get a hold of the student section cheering sheet. But Mark Ziegler finds one.
That's next level.
That's next level work, right? He's going around getting that stuff.
I think
I love it.
We often talk about the fans and how different it is. I think if you're going to let the crowd escalate and you're going to have to reciprocate that on the other end.
You got to give a little latitude to Reese Waters right
latitude,
there.
Latitude, for sure.
It was a very quick whistle, for sure. All right, break time, Daily Gambit. When we come back, odds and ends, winners and losers, next on Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.